It sounds like McInnes pretty much dislikes and I guess wants to see harm to anyone who doesn't agree with him and isn't a white Christian male. Is that a fair assumption?
Actually, it probably isn't. Far be it for me to defend Gavin McInnes, I can tell you right now. But he basically says that as long as anyone accepts that the West is best, that they themselves call themselves a Western chauvinist, then he'll accept them. So you could be gay, you could be black, you could be brown, you can be part of the Proud Boys. He also says that he's not racist at all. He's married to a Canadian Indigenous woman and says that racism really doesn't make any sense. He's just concerned about civilization, superiority, and the West is best in his thinking.
Okay. Well, I guess that kind of goes against some of the things he's been, I guess, caught saying as well. How does that kind of stack up against, his own personal speech of what he's been trying to communicate?
Yeah, well, that's the contradiction that's Gavin McInnes. I mean, basically, he's kind of like the kid at primary school that drank too much red cordial and couldn't sort of sit on their chair and the teacher had to put them in the naughty corner. He is really out for attention. He produces a lot of media, so he says a lot of stuff. He has been known to be calling out for violence, because part of being the Proud Boys is that you engage in violence. And so in a way, the Proud Boys are kind of started as a joke, but they've become something pretty serious. I mean, none of the other far-right groups wear uniforms and, you know, have a hazing ritual to get into. The Proud Boys have 4 degrees. So you start off with saying that you're a Western chauvinist. You move to getting a beating by other Proud Boys. You then get a tattoo, and the final stage is you bash on with some protesters. So violence is in their DNA. So, yeah, he is a bit of a contradiction, I have to say. Some people say he's very funny. Some people say he's very charismatic. I hope we don't get a chance to find out, to be honest.
Yeah, I guess that's the thing. How did he go from a co-founder of Vice, which is a reasonably progressive media platform, to, I guess, quite a hard right commentator?
Yeah, well, basically, it's a bit hard to know how, you know, what his involvement was at Vice at the beginning. This is Vice magazine before it became the media empire that it is today.
Right.
Basically, it seems like he was the one who did all the content. He certainly takes credit for inventing the hipster look. So the big Ned Kelly beard with the lumberjacket, that whole look, he claims to have invented. So there's something we can blame him for. But he basically was obviously very, very creative and interested in creating a style and a brand way back then. About 10 years ago, he separated with the other two guys from Vice. They've pretty well written him out of history of Vice. So if you look at Vice itself, you won't find much about him at all. And since then, he's just been a YouTuber. And as we know, the YouTube ecosystem can tend towards the right and outright fascism. So I guess he's kind of found his niche there. Basically, he likes to shake things up. He doesn't like political correctness. He's been, you know, some of his stunts include shoving a dildo up his bum on radio and having it filmed. I don't quite know what the point of that was.
Yeah, right.
but he also, just fairly recently, about 2 weeks ago, he spoke at a Republican private club in New York, and he spoke on the anniversary of the television murder of a Japanese socialist leader. So a Japanese socialist leader was on television and was murdered on television, and McInnes reenacted that. With an Asian American person playing the role. And afterwards, a number of Proud Boys punched on in the streets with some protesters, and some of them were arrested, some are still on the run. And as a result, the Proud Boys have been deplatformed off Facebook worldwide.
Oh, wow. Okay. there's, I guess, the power of Facebook's intervention it can have on different groups. You did mention before how to become a fully-fledged member of the Proud Boys. There's various violent and strange requirements that you have to carry out, such as public beatings and all those kind of things. Now, they are coming to Australia. Do you expect any Australians to partake in that kind of violence?
Yeah, this is a really good question. So Proud Boys in Australia is still in its very early stages. There are chapters in Perth, Adelaide, Melbourne, Sydney, Brisbane. There's Proud Boys here in Tasmania. They've all, you know, signed up, done their first degree, posted a video of themselves saying that they're proud Western chauvinists and they don't apologise for making the modern world. That's a first degree. Then met up with other Proud Boys, bought their Fred Perry polo shirts, which are black with the yellow Proud Boys rooster on them. And in recent times, Proud Boys have started to gather in groups at demonstrations. So they haven't really found their stride yet as to what they're going to do. But the tour of Gavin McInnes would be a chance for all the Proud Boys to come together, to feel like they're part of a group. And who knows, maybe some of them will try and go for their fourth degree and punch a protester. I mean, Gavin McInnes says, oh, don't start the violence, but do defend yourselves. However, we have seen from some of the violent demonstrations in the US that, perhaps not all the Proud Boys are following his instructions to the letter.
Yeah, maybe not. Yeah, not to a word to what he's saying. McInnes has called Australia the last vestige of masculinity. Why do you think that is?
Yeah, look, it's hard to really know. You know, Milo's called it, Milo Yiannopoulos has called Australia the, I've even forgotten what it was. I guess the thing is that Australia's only fairly recently been added to the tour schedule of these YouTubers and so-called celebrities. So maybe it's a bit of blowing smoke up the old nether regions of Australia. I mean, we do tend to love anybody that puts up with a 22-hour plane ride and turns up. So, but I do think that Australia is a big untapped market for these guys, actually.
And it isn't really the first alt-right group that has visited Australia. Why do you think Australia now is attracting the alt-right?
Oh, money. I think you've got to look at the tour promoters, actually. First of all, we have a long history of racism. That's true. Secondly, we also have a nationalistic and patriotic vibe going on. After 2014 and the Link Cafe siege, there was a big upsurge in anti-Islam protesting and sentiment. Nowadays, we have people going on about stand up, take back Australia. I don't know what from what, but stand up, take back Australia, fight against the Chinese invasion, fight against Islam, blah, blah, blah. So we have very fertile soil for, you know, racist rebel rousers to turn up. But I think you've really got to look at the actual promoters. And just recently, Milo Yiannopoulos and Ann Coulter, another washed-up right-wing figure from the US, was planning to come here. Their promoter fell apart. Their tour was kind of combined with the Gavin McInnes tour, and Tommy Robinson was at the UK guy was added to that. So the promoter is actually Costas, Damien Costas, who runs Penthouse, the pornography empire. So I'm sure it's just a money-making venture for him. However, these tours do have an impact. And after Lauren Southern and Stephen Molyneux, the Canadians, were here earlier this year, we saw Lauren Southern wear an It's Okay to Be White t-shirt. Next minute, we see Pauline Hanson presenting It's Okay to Be White motion in the Senate, and now we see It's Okay to Be White posters stuck up outside various Labor and Greens offices last week. So these visits do definitely have an impact.
Yeah, wow, it's quite, quite a escalation, really, what's happened there. And I guess if they've got an audience, they'll follow the money. And unsurprisingly, there has been a political and public backlash, I should say, to the news of the Deplorables tour coming to Australia, with the Labor Party calling for the men not to be granted Australian visas. How likely do you think that it is that they won't get those visas?
Well, Gavin McInnes has no convictions. So, yes, he has called for violence, so he would have to be part of failing the character test in that his followers have engaged in violence and been charged. He himself has never been charged. However, Tommy Robinson is a completely different kettle of fish. Stephen Yaxley Lennon, his real name, Tommy Robinson is a pseudonym, has been jailed for violent crimes and also fraud. He's currently involved in a number of court actions due to breaching court restrictions on reporting a gang rape trial. So I think Tommy Robinson's visa is not guaranteed. I think Gavin McInnes is likely to have a visa. Whether or not the promoters will still pull off a tour with only Gavin McInnes, I tell you, there's a lot of angry people out there who'd booked for the Gavin McInnes tour, booked for the Milo and Ann Coulter tour. When that was cancelled, the tickets were just transferred to the Gavin and Tommy tour, and those people are pretty annoyed because they don't have a ticket refund going on. So there's been some big promises that Tommy Robinson's coming. I think he won't come. I don't think he will get a visa, and there's going to be some pretty angry punters out there. So who knows whether any of the tours will go ahead. Damien Costas has done successful tours in the past, so don't really know.
Yeah, right. It's going to be interesting to see what happens, really. I mean, it is December when the tour is set to happen, so it's going to happen soon when we find out if they're allowed to come into the country or not and the tour goes ahead. Anyway, thank you so much, Kaz, for joining us this morning and telling us about the Deplorables tour and McInnes, and I guess he's the Proud Boys and what he's about, really. So thank you so much for telling us about it.
You're very welcome.